Let's take your Bibles and go to the Psalm 47. I'd like to share with you today a little bit about living in praise and thanksgiving. No matter what goes on in our life, no matter how messy things become, or war, or pestilence, or drought, or whatever you want to call it, anything and everything, the Almighty God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, your Father, deserves your praise and your thanksgiving. And it's a very powerful thing that you give to Him. It moves Him. And I wanted to try to show you these things today in some of these records. In the 47th Psalm in verse 7, it says, "For God is the King of all the earth. Sing you praises with understanding." You know, just like everything else, God wants your head involved in what you're doing. He wants you to give Him praise. But it's not mindless. It's not just habit. It's not just yelling and screaming. It's with understanding. You're to pray to Him with understanding. You're to praise Him with understanding. And when you sing, I know that some of these songs I've sung for 40 plus years. And I don't have to think about them anymore. I know the words so well that you can mindlessly sing them without thinking about them. But that is not good. Okay, let's just put it that way. That's not good. God, He's not praised and He's not glorified by that kind of mental absence. You know, so just think about what you're saying, what you're doing. And praising God, by the way, is not saying praise God. Praise God is the command. All right? Praising Him is speaking well of Him. And you do it with understanding. Go to Psalm 100. This is a song we sing quite often in fellowship. But it's got some beautiful verses. It says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord Yahweh with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know you that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For Yahweh is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." Psalm 34. "We are His people, and we are the sheep of His pasture." We're in good hands. In verse 1, it says, "I will bless Yahweh at all times, and His praise shall continually be in my mouth." All the time. And "my soul shall make her boast in Yahweh. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify Yahweh with me, and let us exalt His name together." More than anything else, I think sometimes when we are excited about God and when we are excited about the things that He has done for us, we not only sing in fellowship, we not only praise Him and give thanks to Him when we are together in song and in prayer, but we also do it just a matter of fact when we talk to other people. You know, I think that's one of the great witnesses that's there, is when I'm just walking and I'm hanging around with these people that I'm exercising with or I'm doing anything else with. And then all of a sudden, I said, you know, God is so good. And he has blessed, you know, and he's done this for me. He's done that for me. And I just tell them of what God has done. That is a witness to the whole world. It's just as much a witness as sitting down with them sometimes and trying to teach the Bible to people. It's acknowledging to the whole world how wonderful your Father is. I mean, a lot of people get excited about ball games, right? Which I don't anymore. I don't follow nothing in sports, but I did, and a lot of people do. And they every chance they get, they'll talk about their team. You know, because they're excited about it. And the players and what happened and this and that. Well, how about our Father? I mean, we're on the greatest team in the world. We're in the greatest flock in the whole world. We are the sheep of his pasture. Nobody gets through. You know, we are good because of him. Psalm 35 makes this point, I think. 35 verse 18. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Again, it's a witnessing. It's a declaration to others. I think it's like waving the flag. Hey, pay attention. Look over here. See what God has done. And 40, Psalm 40. Just wanted to stick in the Psalms for a little bit. In verse 3. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God, and many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in Yahweh. They put their trust in him. Example after example, I guess I could give on this, but I wanted you to understand the principle. Because every time I tell people, or Mary tells people of the deliverance that I've received in this family of mine, or the things that I've seen in the church, it is a witness of God's power, of his grace. You know, it gets a little bit weird when you talk to some of these people, because they say, well, you're so special. God's done a miracle for you. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. He'll do it for you too. But you got to seek him. And you just go for it. I remember catching myself, I don't really want to be standing out and making myself look like I'm special. I'm walking with God. Yes, I do. Yeah, you don't get talked out of that. I'm praising him. This isn't about me. If you want the same deliverance in your life, just become part of his flock. Just put yourself under his protection. Learn his word. Seek him. Ask him. He'll be there. There's just no doubt about it. There's no messing around here. It doesn't take a biblical course of many, many weeks. It just takes a heart to turn towards him. All those who cry to the Lord will be saved. You can learn as time goes by. But first, you have a heart to seek him. And one more here, 42. 42nd Psalm, verse 5. Why art thou cast down, my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance, of his presence. I'm going to praise him because he's with me. Why should I be cast down? Why should I be discouraged? Why? I mean, you know, we're human beings, right? We get discouraged. We have a tough time. There's no question about it. But really, when you get right down to it, if I concentrate on my God, my Father, the one who has created the heavens and the earth, who has promised help and deliverance, who's given me a hope that is in front of me, that no matter what I win, all I have to do is stay faithful and look to him, then why would I be cast down? We go through tough times. People always do. Jesus went through tough times. The apostles went through tough times. You know, I don't know anybody who hasn't. Even the newborn, they go through a tough time. They come out yelling. Their first introduction to life is a shock. You know, I was nice and warm. Nobody was messing with me. And now all of a sudden, I'm in the world and it's a shock. And they're wiping me off and smacking me around. Life starts off with a shock, and it certainly doesn't get quieter as life goes by. You know, think about it. We went to Habakkuk. Can you find that again? Habakkuk chapter 3. By the time you get there, I might be done. But in Habakkuk, if you remember a couple weeks ago when we taught this, the prophet was complaining to God, right? And he's going to God. He's complaining to God. Why are you letting all this evil happen? And God says, okay, I'm going to send the Babylonians. And that prophet says, oh, God, no, please, you can't do that. You're too good. It's scorched earth. There won't be any of us left. And God comes back, talks to him, says, hey, write it down, tell the people. And then he says, we're done talking. You can come and talk to me. You can complain. We got a relationship, the prophet and God. We got a relationship. But guess what? Whatever I say is what's going to be. And his judgment was that way. And he did say, but in verse 20 of chapter 2, it says, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him. And after God said that, I'm sitting on the throne. I'm in my temple. It's time for all the earth to be quiet. Will of God, it's going to come to pass. And then the prophet completely changes. And I just wanted to read these last few verses in this chapter 3 of Habakkuk in verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be on the vine. The labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall. Yet I will rejoice in Yahweh. I will joy in the God of my salvation. You know, no matter what kind of calamity comes, whether it's because of the sin of the people and the scorched earth policy that's going to come with the Babylonians, the believer, the one who trusts in the Lord, will praise his holy name. You think of the generations before us. World War I commences and millions die. World War II and 60 million die. I mean, what is the guy sitting in his house supposed to do? Supposed to think? You know, most of us don't have any control over those kinds of events. You know, I'm going to praise his holy name. I'm going to do my utmost to praise my God, no matter what goes on this earth. No matter what goes on, And that has got to be the believer's mindset. That is the, you know, the prophet had plenty of opinions here. And he was wrong both times. You know, and God's not being, God's being just. I'm going to bring justice. And this is how I'm going to do it. And the people of God are going to go in bondage for 70 years. But the just live by faith. You know, it also says that in that particular section. Go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. In 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse 16, it says, this is talking about walking like our Lord, this whole section, you know, talking about husbands, wives, believers, walk like the Lord walked. And in verse 16, it says, having a good conscience, having a good behavior, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ, your good behavior in Christ. Let the world be falsely, let them be ashamed for their false accusations against you if you're walking with God and His Word. For it is better if the will of God so be that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. That tells you and I that we're going to suffer for even doing the right thing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. You know, it's very, and it has been true in the past. Really wonderful, God-fearing people have been suffering, put to death, jailed, tortured, just because they wanted to love God, move the Word, speak the Word, stand up for Him. And the world don't like that. Sometimes more so than other times. And it's not very far away. You can watch the news and find it. It's not like in the distant past. You can go to many countries in the world, including this one, and find that kind of injustice. It's not hard to find. Go to chapter 4. It's chapter 4, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's how we want to do it. If you're going to speak, speak the Word. Just speak the Word. If you're going to praise, praise Him for who He is. And make it known. If you're going to give thanks to God for all that He has done. Whatever you're doing, do it that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Just do it for Him. Go to Hebrews 13, not too far away. In verse 15 it says, for by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. God considers this a sacrifice. Sacrifice to me is always like, oh, I'm giving up something and this is costing me. You know, so praise is not just fun. Giving thanks is not just when everything is going well. These things are to be given to the Father when it's considered a sacrifice. You know, if you speak up, you're going to be, you know, pointed at. You know, remember the man with the withered hand? Jesus walks into the synagogue and it's a hostile environment. They hate him. They're looking, let's see if he'll heal on the Sabbath day that we might accuse him. And after he does heal him, they try to kill him. They try to throw him off the cliff. So Jesus says to this guy, stand forth. He's in a mob. Now, we call it a synagogue, but really it is a place filled with people at the moment who hate the Lord and want to do him evil. And you're going to stand up and put yourself in association with him? Well, that's what it took. That was a really uncomfortable situation. You want, if this man wants the healing, he's got to stand forth. Being uncomfortable, that's life. It's always uncomfortable to go against the grain. You know, you always point yourself out. The Lord always did it. You know, and I think we should think through some of these things that the scriptures point to and not just let them go over the top of our head, but really put ourselves in the shoes of our Lord and some of the people that he ministered to. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. To do good and to communicate and to be involved, you know, you want to be able to minister good to others. And God is pleased with that. I don't think very many people think of praise and thanksgiving as a sacrifice. But when you're feeling terrible, when you are sick as a dog, and you're praising the Lord, that's a sacrifice. You're giving to him what he's due regardless of how you feel. That's just a beautiful thing. Go to Daniel chapter 2. Just an example, one example. Maybe we'll do a couple, but we'll see what we can do here. In the second chapter of Daniel, it says, "And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar dreamed the dreams, wherein his spirit was troubled, and his sleep break from him. Then the king by the way, this is the same Babylon that was doing scorched earth against Israel with the days of Habakkuk. I mean, literally, they did scorched earth, stole the people, brought them and sent them any which way they wanted. They cut down every tree. They killed every animal. They made the place where it was worthless. And you don't mess with Babylon." Yeah, it wouldn't have been real ecological, you know. So the king's got this dream coming. God is knocking on his door. See, even, you know, no matter what goes on earth, the Lord God Almighty can intervene at any time he wants. So he was troubled. and his sleep break from him. Verse 2, and the king commanded and called the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dream. So they came and they stood before the king, and the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. And the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. I can't remember the dream. How many times? I can't remember my dreams 99% of the time. But they don't bother me. If you will not make known unto me the dream, with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. No pressure here. No pressure here. You tell me my dream, and tell me the interpretation. And do you see the scorched earth attitude that this man's got? I'm going to get rid of all of you. You can't do this. You're gone. Now, guess who is among the magicians and the astrologers? Who got the job? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. All right, from the first chapter. These kids, God delivers them, gives them a great job. Puts them right in the ranks of these people here. Chapter 2, God's bugging the king. And their lives are now in jeopardy because of their job. Nothing goes smooth all the time. God gives you a job, and then you're potentially going to get killed because you do this job. But, verse 6, but if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. And they answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. And the king answered and said, I know of certainty that you would gain the time because you see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known to me the dream, there is but one decree for you, and you shall prepare lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof. You're not going to fool me. You're not going to snow me. You're not going to just give me a whole bunch of BS. I'll know that you can give me the interpretation if you can tell me the dream too. Otherwise, you're done. And the Chaldeans answered the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king the matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, or ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. That's the only one that can do this, is a god that's dwelling isn't with mankind. Nobody can do this. Nobody asks this thing. I mean, they can be a little bit more bold now, right? Because the end is the end. Verse 11. Verse 12. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with the counsel and wisdom to Archot, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. And he answered and said unto Archot, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? And Archot made the thing known unto Daniel. See, Daniel wasn't one of the top guys. He was one of the lower. He wasn't in this meeting. He wasn't in the king's audience. He was hanging out. He's one of the younger guys. He's down on the ladder. I don't even know what's going on. You're going to kill everybody? What happened? What's this about? And he asked this guy, and the guy tells him. And Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time. So here it is. Your life is on the line. So Daniel moves boldly. And it says he went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, that he would show the king the interpretation. I'll give you the interpretation. And Daniel went to the house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and his companions. And they would desire the mercies of God of heaven concerning this secret. And Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So here it is. They go and they don't freak out. They don't try to run out of town. They don't, they go to each other, and their first place to go is prayer. They're coming together as believers, and their first thing to do is to pray together and ask God to forgive them the secret. And Daniel and his fellows should perish with the rest of those in Babylon. Verse 19, and then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in the night vision. And Daniel blessed the God of heaven. He gives praise and thanks to the God of heaven. And Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of the God of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons, and he removes kings and he sets kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou has now made known unto us the king's matter. Therefore, Daniel, now he's praising him and among the believers as he gets this revelation. I don't know if it was later on personal, if it was in the middle of the prayer meeting, that I don't know, but I do know this. He just starts praising God for what he has given them. That's what's on. It's not, I got it. Let's run and save our lives. No, first let's give God his due. Therefore, Daniel went in to Archot, who the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. And he went and said thus to him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon, bring me before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. And Archot brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. And the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Now watch what Daniel says. Can you do this? What would be the temptation? You betcha I can take care of this. I'll take care of what? I'll tell you everything. You got your man here. That's the kind of stuff that you would hear normally from people, right? I got it. I can do it. I'm your guy. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men or the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and makes known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days, thy dream and the vision of thy head upon thy bed are these. And then he gives the king the matter. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came unto thy mind upon thy bed, that thou shouldest come, that shall come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets makes known to thee what shall come to pass. There's a God who can reveal this to you. I'm just the messenger. God is the one who gets the glory. God is the one who's going to get the praise. God is the one who's going to get. This is who's important. You and I, we speak his word, but it's still about him. And when we speak, he gets the praise. He gets the glory. When Jesus healed, God always got the glory and the praise. It wasn't Jesus. It wasn't, wow, look at what's going on here. Look at what this guy can do. I just think it's just such a marvelous, wonderful thing. And praise and giving thanks is a part of the outreach if we're bold enough to have it and practice it in our life and not be talked out of it. You know, I just think, go to 2 Chronicles. I don't think we've got time to do the entire record, but maybe you can read this in record for yourself. In 2 Chronicles, in chapter 20, it's with King Jehoshaphat. King Jehoshaphat he's walking with God. This man seeks God. He is not perfect at it. When you read about Jehoshaphat, he's not perfect at this. But he is a man who's seeking God and wants to lead the people to God. He's a good king. All right? Now he's got, I believe, Moab, the children of Ammon, and somebody else, and the Ammonites. They are coming against him and against Judah. It's a significant army. It's a huge army. I was just watching on the other day on Archaeological Discovery, where they discovered that the 185,000 that were killed by the angel, I forget the record, but there's 185,000 who were killed in one night by the angel. They just discovered the camp where they were. I'm not surprised. I mean, any place in the Bible you look, if you look in that place, you're going to find stuff. Because it's there. It's the scripture. But the world doesn't know this. So they just, let's see if that one's there. So they found it, and they're excavating it. Jehoshaphat's got this problem. He's got these three nations coming at him with an unbelievable size force, and there's nothing that they can do about it. And he says in verse 12, O our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Now imagine this. I mean, I think we can imagine it. We can imagine it at the household level. We got, not at the nation level, but at the household level, God, I don't know what to do. I got all this trouble. I got all this coming against me. I'm going to lose everything. We're all in jeopardy. I don't know what to do. It says, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children. You know where they were standing? They were standing in front of the temple where David had said, what Solomon had said, that if we come before this place and we have trouble, and you swear that you will hear the words of our prayers and bring deliverance to us. And Jehoshaphat comes back and he quotes those verses that Solomon spoke and had written down. And that we are here with our wives, with our children, the little ones. And then the Lord says, and upon these fellows, the Levite, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Verse 15. And he said, hearken you, all Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid or dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And tomorrow go down against them, and behold, they come up by the cliff Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel, and you shall not need to fight in this battle, and set yourselves and stand you still and see the salvation of the Lord. You, O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head and his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord and worshiped the Lord. And you know what he did? First of all, put yourself in the shoes of these people. Put yourself in their shoes. You're going to get wiped out. You got nothing to defend against this. You have nothing. Make it live in your heart. And then somebody in the fellowship prophesies, just like we do. We don't listen to them that good. We don't pay attention to them. Which, I just yelled at you. Okay? Somebody just prophesies. It says, King, the rest of you, don't worry, God's got it. You're not going to have to fight. That's your life on the line. And you know what they do? They bow themselves to the God. They accept the word that they've heard in the prophecy. And then the next morning they put the singers out in front, the Levites, and they're singing and praising God, and the army's behind them, and they're just coming to witness what's going to happen. And these guys are there by the cliffs, they're down, down the hill, the encampment. There's three nations down there, and they all kill each other. Then the people of Israel go down and collect all the gems and the, you know, don't let all that stuff go to waste. They take all the money and the gems and the gold and the silver and they put it home. All they got to do is strip the bodies. Yeah, we ought to, this is like, no, we shouldn't do that. Yes, we should. No fear. True faith. No freaking out. No double-mindedness all that night. No, they heard that prophecy, they got their answer, and they locked in. No double-mindedness. No, let me second-guess myself. They heard the war camp. They knew where they were coming. And they went out and put the singers out front, praising God, giving thanks to his name. That's the sacrifice of praise. That's the trust. That's faith. That's faith. That's the kind of stuff we're talking about. Philippians chapter 4. We are given the scriptures, the word of God. Every word that's in this book that you can learn from, that God tells you or speaks to you, it is 100% yours to have. As long as you don't doubt and you carry it out. In chapter 4, in verse 6, it says, be careful for nothing, King James. It's anxious. Don't be anxious. Be anxious for nothing. Most people are freaked out for no reason at all. Oh, I'm there. God says, don't be anxious. Then guess what? I don't care how you feel. Don't be anxious. Control your thoughts. Control your mind. Be anxious for nothing. For in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, Jehoshaphat stood before the temple, and they did exactly what Solomon had said. And they brought their prayer and their request before God, and God had promised that he would answer it. How about you and me? We at any less here? Jesus, our Lord, substituted himself on the cross and died for us. And he said, if you do my word, you'll have whatsoever you ask. Yeah, you got to walk like him, but the point is, I want the Lord. I want to do his word. I need help. My life sometimes gets to be a mess. I go to him. I pour out my heart. I complain just like the prophet. I talk to him just like he's my father, because he is. And I expect answers. I expect his intervention. And regardless of whatever goes on, I just have to be like that old, like that old prophet said, no matter what, there's nothing on the trees, no animals around, there's nothing to eat, I'm going to praise your holy name. That's got to be my attitude as a believer. This is what I'm taught throughout the scriptures. And you got to steel your mind for this. You got to choose. You know, you could be a dish rag for Jesus, fold like a towel, or you can stand strong. You know, stand strong. This Be anxious for nothing. God's my Father. My Lord died for me. Romans 8 says, is there anything that can separate me from His love? The answer is no. Then in everything, in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, I'm going to let my request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, His shalom, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And finally, whatsoever things are true, and whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are good or of a good report, if there be any virtue or if there be any praise, think on these things. And those things which you have heard and received and heard and seen of me do, and the God of peace will be with you. You keep your mind. You keep it in track. You know? And give Him the praise and the thanksgiving that He deserves. And especially at the challenging times. So that's where I'm going to end it. That's what I wanted to share with you this morning.